everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. The Tampa Bay Rays have given permission by Major League Baseball to explore the possibility of splitting their home games between the Tampa Bay area and Montreal. This, according to Mark Tompkin of the Tampa Bay Times, the proposed arrangement can see the club eventually playing early season games in Tampa Bay before finishing the season in Montreal. This, according to ESPN, the plan is in its early stages right now, would involve new stadiums being built in both cities. The commission telling MLB.com that the team has been committed to play at Tampa at Tropicana Field through the end of 2027. That's when the current lease ends. Montreal hasn't had a baseball team since the Expos moved to Washington following 2004. Despite an impressive 43-31 record, the Rays have the second worst attendance in Major League Baseball behind only the Miami Marlins. Dodgers pitcher Rich Hill calling MLB this week to advocate extending protective nettings at ballparks. Hill hopes the league will follow the example set by the Chicago White Sox, the first team, and recently announced plans to expand the netting to foul poles at Guaranteed Rate Field. The decision was made after a young girl was horribly struck in the head by a foul ball in Houston this May. MLB games in progress. Cleveland and Texas Rangers up 2-1. We're in the top of the seventh there. Colorado and Arizona, the Rockies lead 1-0 in the bottom of the first. U.S. President Donald Trump says he will consider inviting the Toronto Raptors to the White House. Trump adding, they did a great job by a great team. We'll think about it. If they'd like to do it, we'll think about it. No NBA team has visited Trump in the White House since his inauguration back in 2017. Raptors coach Nick Nurse says they will visit Ottawa and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in the near future for sure. The NBA draft goes down tonight in New York City. The Barclays Center will play host. Things getting started at 7:30. We have coverage right here on the network at 7 o'clock. Stick around for that. The New Orleans Pelicans on the clock with the number one pick. It appears the Pelicans are eyeing at least one big move in tonight's draft as well. Executive VP of Basketball Ops David Griffin is trying to acquire a first-round pick and a player on a good contract for the number four overall selection in tonight's draft. The Pelicans already spoken with Minnesota regarding the 11th overall pick and forward Robert Covington, a source telling Stadium's Jeff Goodman. New Orleans also picking up the option on Jahlil Okafor's contract for 2019-20. The former third overall pick averaged 8.2 points, 4.4 boards, in 59 games last season with the Pelicans. In the NHL, the Vancouver Canucks and defenseman Alex Edler agreeing on a two-year contract worth about $6 million per year. Edler, a solid year, recording 10 goals and 34 points in 56 games with the Canucks, marking his most efficient campaign in terms of points. He also locked 24 minutes and 34 a game, 10th among NHL defensemen in that category. Edmonton Oilers first-round pick Jesse Puljujärvi giving the team an ultimatum: trade him or he's moving to Europe. The Oilers have until Monday to issue a qualifying offer to the 20-year-old to keep his NHL rights. Round one of the PGA's Traveler Championship from TPC River Highlands in Connecticut. Ryan Armour and Bronson Berggren lead the way right now, both in the clubhouse at -6. Notables: Brooks Koepka, he's one over par. Patrick Cantlay in the clubhouse, 4 under. And Paul Casey right now, he's lurking, 4 under par, still on the course. Lots of guys going low. Round one of the KPMG Women's PGA Championship from Hazeltine in Minnesota. Hyo Jo Kim leads at -3. Let's take a look at the rest of the baseball board. 2 at 7:05. Houston and the Yanks. Yanks -140, -10. Valdez versus Green. Philly and Washington. Nats -115. Pavetta and Feedy, 10.5. 7:07 action. Angels -150 at Toronto. Suarez versus Richard, 10.5. 7:15. Miami at St. Louis. Cards -195. 8. Gallen and Wainwright, 8:05. The Mets and Cubs. Cubs -169. Lockett versus Chatwood, 8:10. Brewers -135 against Cincinnati, 9.5. Rourke versus Nelson, 8:15. Mini -210 at Kansas City. Eggs Odorizzi and the spark plug. Glenn Sparkman, that's a 10. 10:07. Tampa Bay at Oakland. A's -115, 7.5. Morton versus Montas. And a pair at 10:10. We got San Fran and the Dodgers. Dodgers -185. Bumgarner versus Urias, 7.5. Dodgers first team to reach 50 wins. And Baltimore at Seattle, that's a bad one. Mariners -149. Bundy and LeBlanc. College Baseball World Series tonight. Mississippi State in Louisville. Mississippi State -150, total 9. CFL football, 0-1 Saskatchewan and Ottawa. Red Blacks -4.5, total 44. Cody Vajardo gets the start for the Riders after Zach Collaros injured in the opener. Women's World Cup of Soccer, 4 matches today. The Netherlands beat Canada 2-1. The USA currently leads Sweden 1-0 at the half. Thailand and Chile are scoreless at the break. And a final, Cameroon took out New Zealand 2-1, the final in that game. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned, everybody. Red Heat and Rage Radio with me and host Gabe Morenci. We'll talk NBA draft. We'll go through all the betting board and a whole lot more. So stick around, everybody. Hour one of Red Heat and Rage coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time. is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Let's roll. The number one pick, New Orleans Pelicans elect Jared Culver. Nah, that's probably not going to happen. Let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat and Rage. Our radio has begun. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio, tune in, and of course, YouTube. I am Morenci. He's the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. Whale Capper is going to step up and join us a little bit later on. We'll see if Whale Capper has any NBA props. Although I'm actually Whale Capper's man. I'm actually somewhat surprised that he's joining us, considering I believe there was like 1,000 like mini quakes or something like that over the last 48 hours in California. And we all know California eventually is just going to fall into the Pacific Ocean, right?
Like, agreed.
We've all been warned. Yeah, people are surprised.
Yeah.
It's like people that build their dream beach houses on the beach, like in Florida, like right in the middle of like hurricane levels. Country.
Yep. Bye-bye. Hurricanes, like, water's rising. I'm with you.
I saw this couple last year during the hurricane. And, like, we just got married. We built our dream house, and it's totally destroyed. Cam, their dream house was, like, on stilts, like, in the ocean.
It's not a good start.
Like, there's a reason why nobody's done this before, people, because, one storm, you're going to get wiped out. And then they're crying after, it's like, well, you live, like, right in, if you actually live in the water, you might have a little bit of a problem. But nevertheless, we've got the NBA draft here this evening, Travelers Championship. Cam can get us caught up to date.
Good start. A lot of our guys are going low, so it's a good start, Gabe. Very, very good start for our
team. I don't know. Maybe one of these years I could win a DraftKings golf tournament.
Good luck. Like, I'll tell you, to win one of those tournaments, no, I'm just being real. Like, first of all, guys enter 100 contests, so think about that. There's 152 guys in a tournament, so you basically need what? The first, second, maybe fourth. Basically, all your guys have to come top 10, basically, and one of them has to go nuts with birdies and eagles. And the odds of that happening are very similar to winning a small lottery. But we've come in top 10s in contests before, but I'm with you, Gabe. It would be real nice to hit one out of the park and win a few $1,000. I'm not even looking for a million. 10 to 20,000 would be a real great start.
We'll get caught up to date as far as the golf tournament is concerned. But what a couple of weeks here. The Toronto Raptors playoff run culminates with an NBA championship. I know everybody wanted Kawhi Leonard to say something at the parade the other day, but for legal reasons, he wasn't going to. And I think there was enough wink winks, and there's enough breadcrumbs, so to speak, to figure out that he's staying. There's a funny tweet. Some kid, it's like a little 5 or 7 year old kid or whatever, Uncle Dennis, Kawhi Leonard's uncle and agent at the airport. Dennis. Yeah, Uncle Dennis in Toronto. The kid asked him, is Kawhi staying? And Dennis was smiling and told him, said, well, if I told you right now, it wouldn't be a surprise now, would it?
Wait till Christmas, kid, and you can open the gifts.
But Kawhi Leonard's coming back, and are the Montreal Expos coming back as well?
That's right.
Hey, now.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
USA over. They're in the 53rd minute right now. USA up 2-0 on the Swedes. And I've got USA in a bunch of parlays here. I've got USA parlayed with Costa Rica, Zion Williamson, Uruguay, and the under 3.5, Canada and the Netherlands. We've got a lot of draft props to break down here this evening.
Whale Capper is going to step up and in and join us. We'll see who else is on the radar. We mentioned as we were going to the break, so big news in the world of Major League Baseball, specifically for Expo fans such as myself and many others out there, that the Tampa Bay Rays have gotten permission for Major League Baseball to begin playing games. Well, to explore playing games in Montreal, a sort of split season type scenario. There would obviously have to be a lot of details that would be worked out. You know, it's not starting like next week or anything, guys. Like, at the earliest, it would start next year. But having been through this literally and figuratively with the Montreal Expos before, where they started to play games in Puerto Rico, and then everybody knew they were going to Washington and they were in Montreal for another 2 years. The process, Cam, has officially begun. We've been waiting. We've been waiting for something to, like, break, and it's always been legalese and, well, this lease and that and this. And the thing is, they do have to play their games until 2027, but, you know, they could still get out as well. It's a weird – they're in a weird scenario here in Florida, but they just can't leave overnight. It's not that simple. But the writing's on the wall, Cam, very similar to in which, you know, the Raiders have been playing in Oakland still, and it's, you know, 2-3 years, and, hey, we're going to Vegas, guys. You know, writing's on the wall. They're building a stadium. They're not building a stadium for nothing. We're going to Vegas. Similar situation where the Expos were in Montreal while they built that new stadium in Washington, and now this is a similar situation, Cam. They don't want to play 40 games in Olympic Stadium, I don't think. I don't think we're looking at a full split, but it wouldn't shock me. Let's say, you know, 50 games to 30 next year, you know, at Olympic Stadium, and then they can sell season ticket packages, you know, while the stadium is ready. And then, look, Montreal already has the land. They already have government approval. There's no obstacle. They have the money. Like, they're ready to go. If Florida and its own right. Like, listen, Kim. Florida, you know, there's lawsuits in Florida about installing a freaking stop sign, okay, in a neighborhood. You can't do anything in Florida without going to court for like 2 years. Look at Beckham. Beckham's been trying to build a soccer stadium, bro. He's David Beckham. He's got money. He can't get it done. Every time he gets a piece of land, they're like, no, not here, not here. The flamingos and the condos and, you know, there's always freaking something in Florida. They don't have money for this in Tampa. They're not paying. They've already rejected it. It's not happening. So basically, I think, Cam, and I'm being realistic here, and I know it's not what people want to hear, but I think 3 years. So not next baseball season. Next baseball season, you know, 22 games, 25 games in Montreal. Year after, you know, maybe 40. But I'm saying not next baseball season, not the baseball season after that, but the baseball season after that, I believe that they will be playing in Montreal fully in a new stadium, Cam, 3 years from now. That's my prediction.
The lease, yeah, the lease goes to 2027. You can break a lease. You have a team that is 43-31. They have the second worst attendance in Major League Baseball.
They got 5,000 people the other night, Ken.
If you were going to show up now, you would. The only other team that's worse is Miami. We know they're a dog shit program, too. Guys are going to other countries and P.O. boxes. Like, come on. You've been through it, Morenci, you know. Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 years. These things don't happen overnight. It's not Art Modell where you take the team in a dark van. Let's get out of here. Move.
You got to get out of the city.
No, it's a whole thing. I'll tell you, Major League Baseball is doing all they can to help, like, basically tell Tampa Bay. The story I'm reading when I put in the update, basically, if you really want to dissect it, says you guys are 12 games above 500. No one gives a crap about your team. We're eventually going to move. When are we going to do this? It feels like a compromise deal right now before they do something else. But the stupid thing about the story is they're talking about building new stadiums in both parts. Why the hell does Tampa Bay need a new stadium? They can't even get it done with the one that they have. That makes no sense.
They're blaming the stadium.
Yeah. Okay.
In a similar situation that Montreal did. They almost deserve each other.
Yeah. That's interesting to look at, but come on.
Think about that, Cam, the irony. A baseball team that's competitive, and it could be a wild card team, is a wild card team right now, their playoff team, is leaving a city because the locals don't like the indoor dome that they play in, to move to a city to play in an indoor dome that lost their team because the locals did not like the indoor dome stadium.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly,
okay. Next
that's
time when someone says history repeats itself, believe them, bro.
Oh,
I told
sure
people
does.
That when the people I'm Red Sea when they left, are they ever going to come back? I said, they'll be back. And I brought it up. I said, Washington's been gone and dead three times. I said, Baltimore has football, you know, Cleveland football. Like, this stuff happens, Cam. You know what I mean? It happens in sports, but I just can't believe that we're old enough now that we've seen it all, Cam, where it's like, yeah, a team leaves because they're playing indoors in a crappy stadium that nobody likes. So no one goes to the stadium, even if the team's good. To leave for a city that lost its team because they play in a dome that nobody wants to go to. Moral of the story, Cam, can't build a dome anymore, bro.
No.
No more domes.
That's another thing. Like Major League Baseball.
Hey, I'm looking at you, Toronto Blue Jays, right now.
Yeah,
and you guys suck. Wait till your attendance goes down.
Buddy,
Jays better get a ballpark going. They're going to be in trouble, too.
I'm telling you, Gabe, they're not far behind Tampa Bay. I watched almost every game this year. There is nobody at these Angels games. I predict 6,000-7,000 with Mike Trout hitting 7 RBIs. I'm looking, Gabe. There's nobody there. Like, I'm talking about, I used to go to games down
the best player in the game's not even drunk. So it's not like, hey, we suck, but the best player in the game is here, right?
Who's there? Geddy Lee and Rush and a couple of his buddies. I think you could see him now. Like, there's nobody around him. Hey, there's Geddy.
Just Geddy keeping score.
Yeah, Geddy with his scorecard there, probably having a water with his, like, you know, management team. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? No, this is the thing. Like, you're dead on. The Jays are right behind Tampa Bay. Like, when you talk about shit shows, Miami, Tampa Bay, and Toronto now is in the third or fourth hole.
It's hard to believe if you think about it, but the Rogers Center, Skydome, it's one of the oldest stadiums in the league now. And not old cool. Like, you know, Fenway ain't going anywhere. We don't want it to go anywhere, right? You know what I mean? Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine, he's been there for, you know, since the 60s. Still looks good. But, like, these dome stadiums, like, the experience at a Blue Jay game sucks. That stadium sucks. There's something about it. Yeah. Nothing is good there. I've never seen a sport event there where I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like,
football, like,
you're too far from the field. Baseball, it's like you're in a mall. I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't feel like a sports stadium, that place. Like, it doesn't have any atmosphere or vibe to it, good or bad. It's just a neutral. At least the Olympic Stadium has its own sort of panache. You rattle the hard seats and it make noise, and, like, you know, the subway, and you can get wasted and you can do it. You can blaze in there. Nobody cares. Like,
you're not even more concrete than it. If the Rogers Center, that place was just a concrete monstrosity. But there is a big problem. We're ripping on Tampa Bay right now, but Toronto's right there, Gabe. I would like to see this earlier rather than later, but it's business. The commissioner is going to do all he can to, you know, to slip it up the games. But yeah, I'm thinking, you're thinking three. I think that might be a little bit, you know, a good estimation. I'm probably thinking four or five the way they're going to drag this thing out. I think it's going to take even longer. These guys don't get things done. You talked about the bureaucratic nature.
I know.
Things run, but it's an optimistic view, but you could break a lease anytime. But that's nuts.
I think I'm being pretty realistic here when I said 3 years. I'm not like, oh yeah, next year, 2 years. Like, it's going to take 2 years to build a stadium in Montreal. And you know, baseball has their collective bargaining agreement coming to an end, right? They're redoing things. So they want to redo the divisions. They want to really shake things up, and they want gambling. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of this, Cam, in the sports world, actually. There's going to be, like, I think change is coming in the near future. All right. Whale Capper's going to join us. Smart guy. We're going to see if what Whale Capper has as far as the NBA draft is concerned. Maybe some Women's World Cup. Copa. Back to live action in a couple of minutes.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Poor Kawhi Leonard just getting stalked everywhere in Toronto, but Kawhi Leonard's crushing it at the Cactus Club, a place I never heard of before, but I walked past it the
other
day.
Yeah. I've been there. Yeah, it's all right. It's not really your thing, Marenzi. It's one of those kind of, how do you say, bars that kind of think they're nightclubs with really expensive food. Like, you know, you get that $25 burger. Like, that's the thing. Just a message to everyone in Toronto when you're walking by, just leave Kawhi alone. Just let him eat his, let him eat his meal. Like, just, hi, how you doing? But no questions. If you're going to do anything, just make, hey, you know, way to go, Raptors, or make nice comments. No questions. Don't dig deep. Let the man enjoy his food. Get off his back.
Another Woj bomb. Oh, I guess the Raptors are gaining ground, according to Woj, on the Clippers.
Yeah. These are great stories. Well, that's the thing. They have their meetings in the morning, right, Gabe? And you got the story. Okay, Woj, what are you going to do today? Well, the betting line is the Raptors are -110, the Clippers 120. Just basically, it's the same story, Gabe. Add a little line, subtract a line, name another source. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, I'm doing these updates, man. Like,
it's just funny, though. We'll bring Whale Capper in on this, but. You know, all we ever hear about Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, Kawhi Leonard's going to leave Toronto because he's building his dream house and home in California, and he doesn't like Toronto, you know, even though he's been there, he doesn't like it there. And, you know, Whale Capper, it's funny because Kawhi Leonard, a couple of days ago, was chilling in Niagara Falls. Somebody just posted a picture of Kawhi Leonard eating in a restaurant downtown. Kawhi Leonard entered his daughter into a private school 2 days ago. You know, for a guy that wants to be in California so much, season's over, Whale Capper. He's free to leave Toronto right now. Like, even, like, to go home for a couple of days. Yet, as I just tweeted, he is home right now. He is home. He ain't going anywhere, Whale Capper. And I tell you what, if there's a book, and I'm not just saying this from a fan standpoint, but if there's a book that you can get that, and BetOnline has it, it's done. Dude, like, we know people in Toronto, me and Cam. I know the guy that broke the story. He's one of the big real estate guys. Yep. So, you know what I mean? It wasn't even a sports scoop. Like, Kawhi Leonard bought a place in a ritzy part of town that he lived in this year. But now he just bought a place. His daughter just went to school. New Balance is releasing a purple Raptor Championship Edition New Balance shoe on July 1st. Kyle Lowry got a chant going 5 more years sitting next to Kawhi, who was laughing his ass off. While Uncle Dennis, the agent, was chanting 5 more years. I don't really know what more to say, but the betting market, Whale Capper, they underestimated the Raptors on the court, and these same jackasses at ESPN and they spew their bullshit are underestimating the same crap again, and they'll be wrong. And you know it, Whale Capper. With all due respect to Woj, how's Kevin Durant? How's that Kevin Durant's health? And you called him. Why is he carrying the Warriors' bags like this? Well, you and I knew that Kevin Durant was hurt. Oh, Woj, day to day. As if. It's all bullshit, Whale Capper. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, how are you guys doing? Congratulations, by the way. I haven't talked since you guys were crowned champions, and the excitement in the city was so fun to be kind of a part of as someone who was pulling for a Raptors win as well. Hope you had fun. Did you go to the parade?
Oh, no.
We were on the air.
I had to stay away. I was in New York. That day. I was actually considering it if Gabe was in town to hang out early, Whale Capper, but there was 3 million people down there. It was a gong show, dehydration, like one idiot with a gun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could just see me and Gabe getting right in the middle of that thing going, oh, boy, here we go. Safe for doing a show.
8% of the population of the entire country of Canada went to that parade. Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. That's absolutely insane. And you know, it's exciting to get to kind of see it all play out this way. It's exciting to see them get a championship. And you know, I'm out of the prediction business on where he's going to end up. I thought it was going to be the Clippers through a lot of the postseason, just because of, you know, what I heard Uncle Dennis was up to, you know, kind of wheeling and dealing with some of the Clippers higher ups and during the Philadelphia series. It seemed like that was a done deal. Now I would say it's a toss up. I don't think I'm involved in any betting action either way here. But it's, you know, he's a different kind of character. He's not he's not a guy that necessarily is going to, you know, look at all this and think about all this logically. I don't think we necessarily know why he's going to pick wherever he picks. I think the people putting things together about, you know, what he's up to in Toronto and all the pressure right now that he's under from local forces to stick around, I'm not sure that doesn't backfire, to be honest with you. He seems like a guy who, you know, kind of, you know, values his privacy.
Why does anyone think in a million years he wants to play for the Clippers? Like, he's never said
this. I think Jerry,
like, it was like the Lakers. And he said, I actually grew up hating the Lakers. He said, I grew up a Philadelphia 76er fan. And they were all crushed. Oh, I thought he'd love the Lakers. No, he said, no, I'm actually an Allen Iverson Sixer fan as a kid. And not a Laker fan.
Yeah.
And so Kawhi Leonard, somebody that's wired to win, just won the MVP, won a second finals MVP, at 27 years old in the prime of his career, is going to go to the LA effing Clippers. One of the biggest garbage dumpster organizations in the history of the NBA. Ooh, I know. Ooh, they won a few games they won two games in the playoffs. Let's stop the presses. They're the team to beat. It's not even like I think it's all Steve Ballmer just spewing bullshit to appease his fan base because he's going to be embarrassed that, you know, and all Ballmer cares about. Ballmer doesn't care about winning. Ballmer just cares about being better than the Lakers, and he's not going to be better than the Lakers this year. And now this way he can make Kawhi the villain. Oh, we tried. We did everything we could. You know, he just didn't want to come home. I guess he doesn't like L.A. You know, I don't even see it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not, like, concerned whatsoever about the Clippers. I think it's just a bunch of media crap.
It's a toss-up, man. I wouldn't rule out the importance of Jerry West in all of this. Jerry West has the ability to construct a dynasty in terms of finding the right pieces and understanding this current state of the league and how you, how you put together a team that can compete for a championship this year and for years and years to come. I think the idea of Kawhi in a place like Los Angeles where he can kind of, melt into the overall, atmosphere is something I wouldn't rule out either, right? Like he's the super duper, focal point, all the pressure on him in Toronto. In Los Angeles, he can kind of be himself, right? I mean, there are other forces I think that you have to factor in here, and I don't think it's as done of a deal that he sticks around in Toronto as maybe you're feeling, but I'm hopeful. I mean, it's fun. The league was fun with him in Toronto.
I love you, Whale Capper.
With him, pulling the Raptors.
I love you.
And
you've got some great numbers and some great takes, but it's not one of them.
Jerry West, man, I wouldn't sell short on Jerry West. That's all I can tell you. He pulled some artful deals at the trade deadline to set the Clippers up to build, a dynasty sort of franchise down there in Los Angeles. And I don't know.
I didn't realize you were drinking this West Coast Kool-Aid so much out there in L.A. Holy crap!
Well, I have a handful of media insider friends who I hear from regularly about stuff. And right now they're 60-40 on Kawhi going to the Clippers. And this is not like
60-40 Clippers at all. Not 60-40 Toronto, Will Cappers.
60-40.
The Raptors are favored in the betting line. They're -120 and the Clippers are +110, right?
And that makes sense too. I mean, I think a lot of that is there was probably a lot of people that raced to the books and bet Toronto when they saw the information circling about his daughter entered in a kindergarten in Toronto. I think people kind of use that as a means to take action. I don't know if that, I have no idea if that's even true. I know that the photographs that they circulated with that rumor were clearly not of him at some preschool enrolling his daughter. They were at him, at Niagara Falls. So there's a lot of misinformation flying around right now. The latest in terms of an actual handshake agreement that I had heard of was about midway through the Raptors Sixers series, Uncle Dennis, who apparently has more power than the President of the United States, in terms of decision making, is, you know, what had made a decision that he was going to the Clippers at that time. Now, a lot has obviously changed, but you know, from the media people that I, you know, from the insiders that I talked to, you know, they all kind of shrug and say, "Guy's a weird dude. Dennis kind of, you know, not somebody you can necessarily count on to not change his mind." But in general, it's about 60-40 right now. He goes to the Clippers.
Has one free agent in the history of the NBA ever signed with the Clippers? That's good.
I can't think of one.
Tumbleweed. Yeah, there's nobody. I don't think so. Yeah.
Yang says Chris Paul.
No, he was traded.
Chris Paul traded? Yeah, he was traded. They forced the trade. They rejected the Lakers trade.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, anyways.
See, you got to understand something, Whale Capper. When it comes to Morenzi, yeah, Kawhi Leonard, Gabe, that's your thing. It's like kind of like, you know what I'm saying, Whale Capper? Like, don't touch his kids or anything. Like, Kawhi Leonard's a part of that.
I'm just stating. This is going to be just like the actual game on the court. The Raptors are once again.
Raptors in six, maybe. We could do this. I think he's sticking around, too. I think the private school, the thing means a lot, actually. Like, why, you know what I mean? Like, even for a guy like Kawhi, you don't want to be going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like coast to coast to coast to coast. But we'll know soon enough, Whale Capper. This guy doesn't tip his hand. That's
anyone
sure.
in we'll wait the last any, minute. Anyone in his camp? Anyone in his camp confirm that?
Well, we do know a guy that he bought the land from. You can tell Whale Capper the whole story, Gabe.
Yeah, I don't think they want to announce that, hey, our daughter just entered this school. All right. Quick break. We'll be back. Whale Capper hit the NBA draft. I hope Whale Capper's pace get better.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, Game Time Decisions, Ready Place Radio continues. 2-0 still in USA. We're into 80th minute right now. A sweep as a corner kick, fifth corner kick of the game for you corner kick prop players out there. 2-0 USA in the 81st minute. All right, Whale Capper is with us for another segment. So, Whale Capper, have you capped the NBA draft at all? I know we talked NFL draft and some props. One thing, you know, the NBA, there's not a lot of wiggle room. NFL, there's just more, you know, there's more available players at each position. You know what I'm saying? Like, the NBA is sort of a, you know, the talent pool is smaller. And one thing about the NBA too, Whale Capper, NFL, it's hard to screw up. They have their board, they have their charts, you know what I mean? And there's grades for everyone. NBA, general managers do weird things. Not that football guys don't, but you never really know. Everyone sort of sees players differently when it comes to basketball. But I actually played six props, which is probably about three too many. But I played six props tonight. But do you have any props for the NBA draft that you like?
So the two guys that I have circled falling are Clark and Hero. If you can get overs on their draft position, I think those make good looks. I think both guys, I think Hero is at risk of sliding out of the first round entirely. And I think Clark.
This is a hot take.
I see sliding at the bottom of the first round. Yeah.
That's a nice hot take, Whale Capper, because you know what? I played it. And, you know, against the mainstream. I like your style. Every mock draft, Hero, the white guy, he's going to Boston because he shoots or the Pacers and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, I've seen this kid play. No disrespect, but he's not a top 20 pick. He's not a top 20 talent in the NBA, in my opinion. And I got it here, Whale Capper. I played it at FanDuel here today. Let me find this. Get the odds here. I got plus 230.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. I got plus 230, Tyler Hero over 18.5.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot, actually. That's a nice look. Plus 230. Wow.
Yes, sir.
That's a good payday. I think there were a lot of people who, we talked about this for the NFL draft too. There are a lot of people who put together mock drafts early on just based on need, looking at talent, evaluating skill sets, and say, okay, slot this guy to this guy. They need this guy, this guy. And that kind of informs a lot of the props that get hung early. And then as more and more information trickles out, you start to realize, like, oh, this guy actually doesn't have a suitor. No one really is, in love with, making this pick. And in fact, the teams that, like, teams you mentioned, as far as I know, they're trying to trade out of those picks, trade up for better swings, or, trade out of the first round. I have not really heard of a clear and obvious suitor for Hero. And if he goes in the, maybe like the last couple picks of the first round, I won't be surprised at all. So you got 18.5, you said? That's a beauty.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a beauty.
18.5, and exactly. I think Hero, if he does go first round, is like 24 and up type of deal. I was looking for plus money. Me and Cam talk about this. You're not going to get rich. Look, I like Jared Culver, but I'm not laying minus 184 that Jared Culver's a top five pick. It's not smart betting, right?
No.
I don't like that anyway. I don't know that he's for sure a top five pick anyway.
You don't, huh? How about this one?
Yeah.
How about this one? I played the Mr. Rich Paul media hype manipulation machine, Darius Garland, I played over 5.5 at plus 325. Hear me out quickly. I'll rattle them off my skit here, my defense quickly on this. Number one is Zion Williamson. We know this. Ja Morant is number two. We know this. Number three is RJ Barrett. I'm in New York City. We know this. Okay, we get to four. The Pelicans. Are they going to trade the pick? I don't think in the end they're going to get a deal that they like. I think they'll end up swallowing the pick. They're not. They just traded for Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. They already have Drew Holiday as well. They don't need another kid here at a guard position. And as I mentioned, Darius Garland is represented by Clutch Management and Rich Paul. You actually think the New Orleans Pelicans are going to draft a player represented by Rich freaking Paul after he just tore AD from them in midseason and destroyed all this stuff? They're not
good
drafting.
Point.
They're not
That's
drafting.
A good
this
point.
Kid. They're not going to go anywhere near him. They're going to be like, screw this. We're not dealing with like, oh, yeah, Rich, how you doing? Like, they're just going to say, whatever, man. Darius Garland's 19 years old. He'll be good in 2 years, and he'll F us like AD did. Like, we're not doing this. They're not going to draft him. So I think, and then it goes to the fifth pick, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are five. John Beilein takes over. I'm a Michigan Wolverine fan. I know the style of player that he likes. John Beilein's 66, man. All right? He's all nearly as old as Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden and stuff. Like, and Trump. He's 66.
Takes 100, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have time to groom some kid that's played five college games and deal with LeBron's agents and all this crap. Beilein's a no-nonsense guy, and you called it. DeAndre Hunter played for the Virginia Cavaliers. Virginia and Michigan are carbon copy mirror images of each other. Pop threes, play hard defense, high basketball IQ. He's 21 years old. He's mature. You can drop him on the court. They already drafted Sexton last year. They already have an SEC firebrand young raw kid at the guard position. Darius Garland goes six to the Phoenix Suns, and I win my bet at plus 325. What do you think, Whale Capper?
320.
You make an amazing case for that. The number on its face value is outstanding, right? Like getting a plus number like that. And, there was a ton of, I don't even know if it was influential money or what, but there was a ton of money that raced the book to back that Garland under on, a couple of relatively weak reports about the Knicks, doing some workouts with this guy. And maybe some teams, that were trying to trade up into that fourth spot for Garland. I actually have not gotten any sign that any of that is true. That all seems like misinformation, some smokescreen nonsense. I like your look. I like your look there a lot. The only risk that you have there, and it's very, very small, is that Memphis pulls the trigger and does a deal with the Pelicans. You've heard this rumor, right? The Pelicans are trying to put it together. You can't turn Godfather offer to move up to the number two spot. And then that would give the Memphis Grizzlies the four. If that plays out, I could see a scenario where the Knicks
would take RJ Barrett,
like Ja Morant. Yeah, well, no. I think that was who the Pelicans are moving up for. Pelicans are moving up
exactly.
Barrett and Zion Williams.
Exactly.
And then the Knicks, The Knicks at three might take a guy like Ja Morant. And then at four, needing a guard, the Grizzlies might take Garland. That's about the only set of circumstances where I think you really have to be kind of conscientious about that play. But the number's outstanding, so good luck.
My other one that I got at nice plus money, I took under 5.5 freshmen taken in the top 10. And I got it at, let's see, plus 80.
Plus 320?
No, it's plus 180, this one.
Oh, my book's 320.
Yeah.
What, under 5.5 freshmen is plus 320?
That is correct. But your other one, you're getting a way better number on Garland than me. Mine's, I like the over 5.5. I only got plus 230. You got 320. Yeah. So
I would hit that under 5.5. I heard you sigh, Whale Capper. There's not a lot of wiggle room, bro.
I know it's not a lot of wiggle room. I'm trying to do the math in my head on that. You kind of need you for sure need one of the international players to go in the top 10 to get that home, and I think there's a good chance of that. Both guys, I think, are relatively sought after, and a lot of the a lot of the GMs kind of sitting at the top of the draft have been pretty quiet on those guys because I think they all kind of covet both Guga and Sekou. I think our candidates to be surprise early picks in that top 10. And if one guy goes, you probably hit that pick. If two guys go, you're slam dunk there.
And if Cam Reddish falls, I hit it. There's a couple of variables here. You're right. There's a couple of variables. But, look, Ja Morant is not a freshman. DeAndre Hunter is not a freshman. Jared Culver is not a freshman. Sekou doesn't count. So I just need one curveball. Like you said, I need Sekou Dumbuya to be drafted. All right. So do you have a prop that you bet that you like?
Most of my action is on over on Clark. Clark is kind of, again, a media darling because his numbers look so good, but I have not yet found a single team that has legitimate interest in this kid. And he's older. I know DeAndre Hunter, same sort of story, but he's got some intangibles. He's got some correlation and fits well in the Cavs system as you nailed. A guy like Clark, on the other hand, I do not see, a ton of teams that are, that are clamoring to get after him. And his number is inflated on the basis of some of his metrics, which were compiled in the Western Conference that no one really has a ton of respect for. So I would say his overs are probably my favorite look, but Hero over as well. Like that's a beauty. I like Hachimura before Clark. I got Clark over 13.5. I got, Hero over 18.5. That's the play of the day for me.
I played Ty Jerome Cam over 23.5. The kid from Virginia.
Yep.
I don't think he's a top 24 pick. I'm not the one deciding. But in my opinion, he's not a top 24 talent. Same thing with Tyler Hero. He's being overvalued here. I don't think Jerome Cam is going to go in the top 23.5. I'm going. I went over for 23.5.
What do you guys think about Walker? On my book, he's 16.5.
I would take the over on that as well. Yeah. I think the guys that are going to be sought after in this, do you buy the Woj underlying statement that this is going to be one of the more fervent nights for draft day trades? That this is just going to be kind of a complete throw the cards up in the air and see who lands where. Involved in the draft. Event.
I think it's lazy reporting and lazy scouting by people. You know what I mean? You figure we're all adults that have been around long enough to know you can't judge a draft for 3 to 5 years, guys, right? So this bullshit it's going to be a bad draft. As if, for all we know, Sekou Dumbuya will be a superstar in 4 years, Whale Cap. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a headline I saw in the paper today. The Chicago newspaper was disappointed the day after the draft they didn't get Hakeem Olajuwon. They got Jordan. It's true. Look at Darren Rovell. He retweeted it.
That's retweeted.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
They were like, it sucks. We didn't get Hakeem. We got this kid Jordan. We don't know. Like I said, what about Cam Reddish? Well, you're a Duke guy, so what's your take on Cam Reddish? We got only about a minute or two left, but Oh, is Cam Reddish going to be a better NBA player than college?
No. I'm out on Reddish. His shooting percentage from two was like impossibly low for a guy who's a quote unquote shooter. His kind of inactivity and his ability, his willingness to take kind of mediocre shots, I think is problematic. He can't finish at the rim especially well, which is problematic. He's just not a player that's cut out for today's NBA, as far as I can tell you. And the fact that he's, on top of all that, he's kind of got hooked in terms of overrating his own abilities. Another red flag when you get these young talented players in the NBA. So if I was buying or selling stock on Cam Reddish, I would be selling.
Whale Capper with us. Brandon Clark is his pick. FanDuel has it at 13.5, -140 to the over, 13.5, +115 to the under. A couple others on the way out here that I played, Whale Capper. I played Nasir Little over 12.5. I think he's being a little
over, huh?
Yeah.
I say he goes 14. I have no feel for where he lands. No feel 15. For where he lands, but 15.
Oh, take the over in the CFL game tonight, Will Capper. Take the over.
It's 43. Gone down, too. Down to 44.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Take the over. Will Capper. Follow my Twitter.
Hey, best of luck, guys.
Have a good one.
Game time decision.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Get in the game at DraftKings Sportsbook. For listeners of the show, you can get a risk-free bet up to $500. Life is more fun when you got a little skin in the game. So test your skills at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Go to sportsgrid.com/DK and claim a risk-free $500 bet. That's a $500 risk-free bet at DraftKings Sportsbook. When you go to sportsgrid.com/DK, claim your risk-free bet today.
Thank you very much, Cam Stewart.
Yeah. Sounds like you got a lot of props in your pocket there, Mr. Prop.
Yeah. Well, I got six NBA. I do have 11 tickets here, though, Cam. Big day today.
Baseball?
Got some baseball. Got some CFL.
Yep.
Got some NBA draft afternoon? Props.
Did you have any afternoon games?
No, I do not.
Okay.
No. What? Do you?
Oh yeah, Texas won today. It was good. Yeah, good start to
finally.
Good start to the day.
Yeah, Cleveland's been hot, Cam.
Yeah, Cleveland has been hot too. Your producer in the morning, he goes, "Funny." He texted me. He's like, "Did you bet on the Yankees?" I go, "No, I bet on the Rays when they lost. Was it 12-1 the other day?" So he's like laughing at me. I'm like, "Okay." I go, "The night games went well." He goes, "Sure, they did."
Yeah, I know. He.
I go, "They did." Don't you listen to the show? I had Boston and whatever. Like, okay. I don't know.
No, he said he's going to start updating any updates, like how we did the night before.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
I know. So it caught me off guard, too, because he's like, he's giving the scores. He's like, and the Yankees beat the Rays. And he's like, I believe Cam Stewart was on the Rays yesterday. And I'm thinking, like, why are you putting this in the update? Like, he's like, yeah, he lost one game.
Thanks. That's good to know.
Gave me credit because the Reds went under again, right? 14-1.
No Reds.
I took up the under tonight, too. Under 9.5 against Milwaukee. Double two coming up. A lot of picks.
Thank you very much, gang. I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy news update. Hey, big news for baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays have been given permission by Major League Baseball to explore the possibility of splitting their home games between Tampa Bay and Montreal. This according to Mark Tompkin of the Tampa Bay Times. The proposed arrangement could see the club eventually play early season games in Tampa Bay before finishing the season in Montreal. This according to ESPN, too.
The plan is in its early stages. It would involve new stadiums being built in both cities. Commissioner Rob Manfred told MLB.com that the team is committed to play in Tampa Bay at Trop Field through the end of 2027. That's when the current lease ends. Montreal hasn't had a baseball team since the Expos moved to Washington following 2004 season. Despite an impressive 43-31 mark, the Rays' second worst attendance in baseball behind only the Marlins. Dodgers pitcher Rich Hill called MLB this week to advocate extending protective netting at baseball's ballpark. Hill hopes the league will follow the example set by the Chicago White Sox, who recently announced plans to expand the netting to foul poles at Guaranteed Rate Field. The decision was made after a young girl was struck in the head by a foul ball in Houston in May. MLB games in progress today. We had a couple afternoon games. One final for you right now. Texas getting it done against the Indians 4-2. Great performance by Mike Minor. Picks up win number 7. Shane Bieber the loss. Kelly the save. And Arizona and Colorado tied at 1 right now in the bottom of 3. U.S. President Donald Trump says he will consider inviting the Raptors to the White House. Trump adding the team did a great job. We'll think about it. If they'd like to do it, we'll think about it, quote unquote. No NBA team has visited Trump in the White House since his inauguration back in 2017. Raptors coach Nick Nurse says they will visit Ottawa and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in the future to celebrate. The NBA draft goes down tonight in New York City at the Barclays Center. It's going to host things underway at 7:30 on the network. The boys got you covered at 7 o'clock with a draft special. The New Orleans Pelicans on the clock with the number one pick. It appears the Pelicans are eyeing at least one big move too. Executive VP of Basketball Ops, Dave Griffin, trying to acquire a first-round pick and a player on a good contract for the number 4 selection overall in tonight's draft. You listen to the rumors. The Pelicans already speaking with Minnesota regarding pick number 11 and forward Robert Covington, a source telling Stadium's Jeff Goodman. New Orleans also picking up the option on Jahlil Okafor today for 2019-20, the former third overall pick, averaging just over 8 points and under 5 boards in 59 games. NHL news, the Vancouver Canucks and defenseman Alex Edler agreeing on a 2-year contract with about $6 million per year on average. He recorded 10 goals and 34 points in 56 games last year. Very good season for him. He also logged over 24 and a half minutes. That's 10th among NHL defensemen in the league. The Toronto Maple Leafs bracing for activity. The team telling clubs they were listening to trade offers for Kasperi Kapanen and Nassim Kadri. They would definitely need a defenseman back and a Kapanen trade and a center back for Kadri. Strong sense that Connor Brown could be part of a deal as well. Stay tuned. The Edmonton Oilers' first-round pick, Jesse Puljujärvi, giving the team an ultimatum. You better trade me or I'm going to Europe. The Oilers have until Monday to issue a qualifying offer to the 21-year-old to keep his NHL rights. Round 1 of the PGA's Travelers Championship from TPC River Highlands in Connecticut underway. Ryan Armour and Brunson Bargoon lead the way at -6. They're both in the clubhouse. Paul Casey of England 5-under right now with a few holes to go. Notables, Brooks Koepka, one of the tournament favorites, 1-over. Patrick Cantlay, very good day today. He is in the clubhouse at 4-under par. Round 1 of the KPMG Women's Championship, their major, the PGA Championship at Hazeltine in Minnesota. Ayu Jo Kim leads at 3-under par. A host of others just one shot back at 2-under. Major League Baseball tonight, we got a very, very busy board. Gabe and I will go through all of our best bets. And throughout the day on the DFS Betting Hour, we'll give you our best picks among the diamond there. Lots of baseball tonight. We also have a college baseball World Series game tonight. Mississippi State taking on Louisville. The Bulldogs, -150 total in this game is 9. CFL action, Saskatchewan and Ottawa. Red Blacks right now, -4.5. The total down from 48. I'm seeing some 44 flats and 44.5s out there. Cody Fajardo, a former Argos quarterback, making the start for the Riders. Zach Collaros injured in the opener. Women's World Cup of Soccer today. The Netherlands got by Canada 2-1. Both teams are going to advance, though. The Netherlands, they win the group with the win, and Canada will get the loser of Sweden and the United States, and it looks like it's going to be Sweden. It will be Sweden. The United States, Gabe, getting it done 2-0, the final there over Sweden, losing to the United States. We have Chile over Thailand, 2-0, the final, and Cameroon takes out New Zealand 2-1. Those are all the finals from the Women's World Cup. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned, everybody, for Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage Radio with me and host Gabe Morenci. We'll talk NBA drafts, some baseball picks, a whole lot more. So stick around, everybody. Level 2, as Gabe says, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Yeah, we really do have to get some new headsets, both you and I. Your headset's hanging off the side of your face, and I look like Princess Leia with, like, two buns on the side of my bald head here.
I like this headset a lot because, you know, I think the microphone is a very high quality, but I can't lie to you, Gabe. My face is greasy like a stick of butter, and it's getting hotter and hotter, so we're going to have a lot of slip sliding in the summer, I have a feeling. Like, I'm trying to keep it cool in here. Summer hasn't even started, and I'm already, you and me are both sweating, so I don't want to see when it gets up to, like, 100 degrees with humidity. We're going to be dying.
Yes.
Like, I'm already, like, slick now. It's not even that hot outside. So, hey, remember what you said to me a long time ago, Gabe? If you're not sweating, you're not trying. So, we're trying.
You're exactly
we're sweating.
Right. All right. Oh, we've got a KFC announcement, special announcement.
Oh, I'm listening. All ears.
This is nasty, man.
What is it?
I'm not down with this. It's a Cheeto sandwich.
No. That's what we talk about.
It's a chicken sandwich, and they put a bunch of Cheetos in it.
This is the new thing with the world and these kids. Know what they do? Take great things like burgers and just insert dumb stuff. Like, there's a reason why they're called classics. You leave them alone. You know, chicken. It's fried chicken. I don't want Cheetos in my chicken burger. Get bent. I'll eat a bag of Cheetos if I want to get Cheetos.
It's actually pretty good, buddy.
Who's the head chef over there? This is the best thing
you
can come up with, Cam.
Come on, Cheetos. That's very, I agree with you. That's very unoriginal, too. Let's just grab some corn chips. Throw them in.
There was a reality TV show. It was really good, too. You would have liked it. It was one of those, like, it's on Spike. And it was like a cooking show contest battle. Like, you know, they bring three of us, or like, you know, Top Chef show. They bring three people in each week. But it was just average people.
Oh, I know what it was.
They created their own
cooks versus cons. You had to guess who was real, who was a real chef, and who was the regular person.
No.
Isn't that what it is? Oh, that was a great show.
No. So.
Okay.
As I was saying, the show was just average people, and it was basically like foods that they had created. It was like you know what I mean? Stuff like this. Yeah, listen, I took I took Oreos and I mixed it with this, and then I added this, and I came up with my own, whatever. Like people like their own creations. And I'll remember the name. I'll look it up. I'll find it. Someone in the chat maybe can help us out with it.
Some Doritos on a turkey sandwich, buddy. Crumble up some Doritos on a turkey sandwich, but I don't eat meat no more.
I can live, Yang. I've done it. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, chips.
Chips are okay. Yeah,
I've put chips in a peanut butter sandwich before. I'll admit, like, sort of had a couple of loose chips. I just sort of stick it in the bread and the peanut butter. You know what I mean?
I used to throw ketchup on my Doritos.
I used to throw ketchup on my plain chips.
Yeah, that's just nasty, bro. You know, in Canada, ketchup chips are popular, Yang.
Very popular.
They're good, buddy.
I'll bring you a bag next time I see you.
Ketchup chips.
They're good.
And then peanut butter jelly sandwich, buddy.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Talking about Mystery Chef Camp?
No, my show was called Cook versus Cons. It was actually a very good premise. They had
Cook versus Cons.
Yeah, so think about it. So one was a professional chef, and the other ones were just regular people, and the regular people would beat the chefs sometimes. It was very good. Okay. So it was kind of like you had to choose. Yeah, it's called Cooks versus Cons.
It would be more like cons, like convicts, I thought.
I bet there's some guys in prison who could really cook. You've seen those, like, Italian gangsters. They got nice spaghetti and meatballs going, good sauces, garlic. Yeah, these guys don't screw around.
The show I was talking about, Frankenfood.
Franken-food.
Yeah.
Franken-food.
Franken-food.
Franken-bowl.
Yeah, Spike TV no longer exists, but it was on Sunday nights on Spike. I used to watch it. The cooking competition features interesting combos, like a pastrami sandwich made with donuts instead of bread.
Hmm.
A deep dish Chicago-style pizza topped with hot dogs. Others were far more terrifying, like fried peanut butter and jelly fish sticks.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Fish and
calamari.
I can't endorse that.
Dude, my grandfather, like on the hockey team and like in the Army and stuff, like he used to win competitions, like he'd eat anything for money type of stuff.
That's what I do, Gabe. That's my move.
And like just to gross me out once, I was like, that's disgusting. And I said like stuff like what? And he goes, watch this. And he took a can of sardines, man. He put it on top of a chocolate sundae and crushed it.
Wicked. I like his style.
Yeah. He used to eat sardines. So I guess they're good for you, sardines. I'm not eating
sardines. They're a little salty, but they're fish.
How about this? But a calamari cookie covered in ice cream.
I could actually go. I don't mind that too much. I like calamari, and I like cookies, and I like ice cream. So
the thing is, though, that was the catch. Like, if there was, like, famous chefs or, like, chefs, you know what I mean, sort of guys that own restaurants, and if you won, it got picked up in the restaurant, and, like, you got a cut of the money and stuff like that, right?
Nice. I like that.
Sort of you see, like, that guy, like, President's Choice does it.
Oh, Galen Weston? Garrett?
Yeah, Galen Weston. They have competitions. Like, they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, they're doing, like, all sorts of stuff now.
Yeah, like, the people have invented that stuff, Cam. Like, the macaroni ball. You know what I mean? The breaded, the jalapeno macaroni ball.
Actually,
like, that was something that the people that
delicious.
Came up with. Oh,
they're delicious.
Great.
Oh, buddy, that's one of my Christmas appetizers. I hoover those, man, like a vacuum.
That's like,
you've seen
so like a big, that's a big event for you. That's when you roll out the macaroni ball.
It's like, you know, people are coming over tonight. I got to get some apps. See, I'll get the macaroni balls. Yeah, they put all sorts of cool stuff in it. I got to hand it to the guy, too. Like, he's got these new things like strawberry ice creams and these little balls and casings. Like, they've tried everything. They have a test kitchen, right? So, and they actually, it's funny you mentioned that. They had a contest where they came out with their next President's Choice product. They had people there infusing stuff, and the winner, exactly what you said. They get the President's Choice name on it, and they get a cut because it's their family's recipe.
This guy actually, so they're not all idiots. Like, some of the things, I'll try to look up some of the things that people came, some of them were bad, Cam. Like, they were just average people, right? It was like, sort of like a team. They wanted to make some people look stupid, right? So they accepted some people's stupid concoctions. But I'm seeing here, the best thing that was ever created on Frankenfood was somebody created they made their own burrito, and they dubbed it the Golden Dragon of Acapulco. The burrito was a combination of Chinese and Mexican. So the burrito was made with General Tao's Szechuan chicken, beef and broccoli, veggie lo mein, all mixed together, then stuffed with refried beans, Spanish rice into a flour tortilla, topped with avocado and sour cream.
Wow, that sounds actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was the biggest hit. In fact, they're saying it got picked up and like all the restaurants picked it up and stuff. It was so good. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's someone out there, like someone's mom has some sort of recipe that would be a hit. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you got to get it out there. I'm sure you have a Frankenfood, Cam. I'm sure you've combined something.
Oh, I do it all the time, Gabe. Like, I just, mine are mostly not really creative like things. Like, I'll infuse, you know, like if in a burger, like I cut it open, put a bunch of different types of cheese in it there for like a super burger. I do stuff like that all the time. I'll throw anything in. Like last night is a perfect example. I had very little cereal left on both, so I combined Vector and a cereal called Just Right and created a new cereal out of it. Very similar, though. They have a lot of Rice Krisps and little nuggets in there and stuff like that. I don't get sick when food touches each other and stuff, so I'll just throw it all in and go nuts. So, you know me, I'm open for business.
I tweeted it out on Twitter here about the people aren't down with the Cheetos and the KFC.
No, I think it's like because the KFC burger, like, and I've had, you know, me and you should, we're aficionados when it comes to Kentucky Fried Chicken. We've had the chicken, the poutine, everything there. The chicken sandwich is wonderful. It doesn't need Cheetos. Cheetos you will add to like a loser, like if I had old dry chicken, you know what I mean, left over, you got to moisten it up a bit, you know, or crunch it up a bit like Yang style, put some chips in it, do something.
I don't even like Cheetos as a whole.
I never buy Cheetos.
I'm not down.
Gotta get some cheese instead,
you know,
buddy.
I'm actually with you, Gabe, on that. That's one of the things. Like when I look at snacks, like I like peanuts. Like going to the old school baseball game with the shell, you could do it old school. I don't like things that make my fingers all furry.
That's
with
some
yellow
nasty
colors.
Stuff.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
Yeah,
then you gotta
man.
Wipe it up. Then I get my tissues all there. You rub it on something, and it's got a nice film. I'm with you. Like I don't like those smart food popcorns. Next thing you know, I got a big cake job on my hands. Like, give me something that's quick. You know, I'm with you.
That's my problem. That's my problem with Doritos. I like Doritos, but same thing. They're
orange.
Messy. Yeah. Like that's why I like the Cool Ranch Doritos. That's
it's a little bit.
You try to roll a spliff after a bag of Cheetos. You're
sparking it up. It's like, what? I got nacho cheese going here with my OG. I got my Rage OG. Nacho cheese.
I'm surprised there's not a strain yet. Cheeto strain.
Oh, they're going to come up with something.
I hate cheese wheat too, Cam. You ever seen that? Like blue cheese?
Oh, yeah,
cheese
yeah. People
wheat?
Love it.
I hate that.
It's a very popular one. It's called UK cheese. People love it all the time. It ain't mine.
It smells like cheese.
Yeah, no, the other one my buddy got the other day, there's someone new one called like Fun Beavers, and then there's another one called Moby Dick. Like, they're coming up with anything now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, next year, right, there is going to be Cheetos and Cool Ranch straining. Like, that's the next step. We're almost
there. There's
another
one, tuna, too. There's one that smells like tuna.
Actually, you know what? It's right in your wheelhouse, though. It's strong. It's called Death Tuna. And, they have Death Tuna, yeah, and Tuna Kush. I don't like tuna either. Like, I don't want to separate my fish from my greens. Like, can't you just give me a regular strain? They got, like, the Death Bubba and, God, man, they got all sorts of – you know what I've noticed, too? They rip off a lot of Empire Strikes Back and Star Wars stuff. Like, if I worked for Star Wars and see some of these weed things, I'd be in a courtroom right now. They got Jedi Kush. They got OG this, Skywalker OG. Like, that's Star Wars copyrights, isn't it? Anyway, Gabe, you're a lawyer. We can win the case in court, but I don't know who I'm going to sue.
All right. So the NBA draft rapidly approaching. On the other side, we're going to a break in a minute, but on the other side, I'll run through some of the props. We talked a little bit with Whale Capper. Matt Ross was going to join us from Montreal, but he's doing like a million radio hits, and I got tired of going back and forth setting up the time with him. So Matt Ross is out. You know, Matt Ross has been pretty instrumental in Montreal trying to get the Expos back. He's been at the forefront, really pushing his stuff. So we're going to talk with him. But instead, Big Man's going to step up.
I could put in a request for Griff tomorrow. He used to be the Expos guy, and he's with the Blue Jays organizing. He'll have a lot of information about this if he's free, if he's not with the team. So I'll try to at least put out the feelers for Rich, for Griff Dog. He knows a lot about the Expos situation.
He does, but kind of a sensitive, I think, situation right now. You know, the Blue Jays kind of suck pretty hard.
He works
for the Jays. Going to talk about another organization coming on.
I got it. I'm going to give him a text. See how he's doing.
And the thing is, too, like, we can't not ask him for the Jays. And the Jays are so bad. Yeah, we're better off not having him on.
He wouldn't care. He'd be honest with us. He always is.
The PR guy for the Jays.
He's a baseball fan. Fan of us, too. So,
if he was honest, he'll get fired.
Be surprised.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, let's roll. Thanks, Yang. Game Time Decisions, Ready to Pitch Radio. Radio Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So let's get into the NBA draft a little bit, and we'll share some of the props that we played, because it is at 7 o'clock, actually, so we'll get out of business right now. We've talked a lot about Darius Garland. I played it. I put my money where my mouth is. Listen, trades can shake things up. And I'm not saying that this is an anti-Darius Garland in the sense that I think that Darius Garland's no good. I think the kid is really good. And from what I've seen, listen, he only played 5 games at Vanderbilt, but he averaged 16 points a game, Cam, which is pretty impressive in your first 5 games in college in the SEC. And, right. You know, he was the number one high school recruit. You know, he got hurt in college. He's a pure shooter, Cam. You know, the comparison is to Damian Lillard. Like, he's patterned his game off. You know, and if you watch him shoot, he looks like Lillard. He's got a quick release, and he's got, like, a lot of Damian Lillard in him. I think he is a star. And, look, the fact that LeBron James and Rich Paul, that it's their agency that is repping him, you know, they're not repping just sort of scrubs, right? So the kid is a star, but at the same point in time, it's just all about needs, situations. And I could be wrong, man. Maybe the Pelicans take this kid overall and then pair him up with Zion Williamson. But I got to believe after dealing with the agent and the company, they're not going to draft this kid. Right. And another thing is they just traded for a bunch of players. Like, they have Josh Hart. They have Lonzo Ball. They have Jrue Holiday. There's only so many guards they can have on their team. You know, I get it. I think they want to trade a pick. They don't want to be too young. And it's sort of like Atlanta, Cam. Like, Atlanta have like 5 picks, but they're freaked out. Like, they don't want to have 5 rookies at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's too much. Like, it's good to have all these picks, but that's why Atlanta's trying to deal with everybody, because they don't want to bring in 5 rookies and have to teach 5 kids at once.
Excellent point you bring up. It's not like football where you can throw a guy on special teams. There's way less players there, so you have to really be diligent. You can't have like 6 guys at the same position, and you talk about best player available. Well, you know what? Sometimes you can't do that. It's a little bit different in the NFL when you're building with big, big teams. I'm with you there, Gabe. And I thought you brought up a great point, Whale Capper, in concern of Garland and the agency. If we went through that whole situation, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, you're going through a divorce and you see this, like, you know what I mean? If you saw that lawyer and you had to deal with something that negative in your life, you wouldn't deal with that person again because it scarred you too much. That's the way it's going to be with the Pelicans and this guy. They want to be anywhere near LeBron James' agent with all the crap that happened with Davis, not just this year when it happened, but when we were talking about it before. This has been a gong show for many, many, many months. It was real stupid. It actually just submarined the whole season. If I was them, I'd want some stability, and I would avoid that guy like the plague. I like where you're going. I actually do agree. I think Phoenix is a good spot because they're a team. They're young on the, you know, they're an up and coming team. It doesn't matter if it takes another couple years. Yeah, and then you could take time to develop him too. You see that story on Kawhi Leonard on Deadspin that just came out too? That's not good for business.
Oh, no, let's see.
You'll find it. Tells about he's definitely going to the Clippers. Just thought you should read it because I know how you feel about that situation.
Kawhi Leonard definitely packing up for Los Angeles.
Yeah, there you go. Just got that one there. My inbox.
Right. Let's see. I learned out. Yeah. Man is Kyle Kuzma. That works out with Kawhi Leonard's trainer, then tweets out more than 2 spiders with a vice. It's all getting crazy now, isn't it?
Getting crazy.
Yeah, this is Kyle Kuzma saying he's coming to the Lakers, not the Clippers.
Yeah. The Lakers do not have the money to do anything, even if they wanted to do that right now. They're going to have to retool everything. They don't have the dough.
Yeah, and no, they don't. And Kawhi Leonard's not taking he's not taking a pay cut. Yeah, there's going to be story after story.
Oh yeah, it's going to be crazy tonight. And we talked about it with Whale Capper, with the NBA too. We talk about the size of the team and what's happening. There's so many more wheeling and dealings going on. Guys that want to get players off the books. Like, there's going to be a lot of little mini trades going on, right, Gabe? Like, it's going to be a very, very interesting evening. Just that's the problem with these props. There's going to be a lot of moving and shaking going on. And nothing is definite. It's very, very risky betting these NBA props in comparison to an NFL prop, in my opinion.
No, you're exactly right. Okay, so Zion Williamson's going first overall.
Correct.
I put him in a couple of parlays, Cam, just for the sake of it. Just
what is it? What was it? Minus 3,000? 30 to 1 or more?
It was minus 8,000, actually.
Oh, okay. It
wasn't that bad. But then it got up to minus 10,000.
Yeah.
But it is free. I mean, he is, right? He's not. There's no way in hell that he's not the first pick. It's a slam dunk of a slam dunk as there's ever been a slam dunk that he's going to be the top pick. You could bet on who the you can bet on individual picks, the first pick, the fourth pick, the fifth pick, etc. But as far as the over-unders, this is what I play. So I talked about the Darius Garland a lot. Let's get that out of the way. We went over 5.5. This one I find interesting, Cam. I played it. It's plus 180. You said you can get it at better odds, too.
Yep.
Over-under freshman. Over-under freshman drafted in the top 10. I went under 5.5. So basically, there needs to be 6 freshmen drafted to beat. If there's 5, I win. Right? Because I got 5.5.
Yeah, I'm on 3 different books. I looked on Mr. Green. They have no props up right now, so I had to go to another one. Yeah, it's funny. Like, I'm looking at the NBA stuff as all international. But on one of my books, the freshman prop is very, very, you get a lot of points. It's under 5.5 plus 320. Under 5.5 plus 320.
It's worth taking a shot.
Players drafted.
All right, so look, let's go through it. Zion Williamson, number 1. Freshman. Ja Morant, number 2. Sophomore. So we got one freshman. RJ Barrett, number 3. Freshman. That's 2 freshmen.
Yep.
DeAndre Hunter. Going to be a top 10 pick. He's a sophomore. No freshman. So we're still stuck at 2 here. So we got 2 freshmen. We get to Darius Garland will be a top 10 pick.
Yes, he will.
He is a freshman. So that's 3. Jared Culver is going to be a top 10 pick. He is not a freshman. So we're at 3 here still. Kobe White, North Carolina, he's going to be a first-round pick. I think he goes 6-7 type thing. Yep. So that's 4.
Hunter?
I said Hunter. So now we're up to the 8th pick. Now we're up to the 8th pick, and I'm at 4. There needs to be 2 more here. Listen, Cam Reddish, a lot of people think that Cam Reddish, we had a guy on this morning, actually, that covers the Hawks. He thinks that Cam Reddish is going to get drafted by the Hawks. Other people think Cam Reddish is going to drop like the 12 or something or lower that, remember Will Capper. I said, you think he's good? No, I don't think it's a sleeper. No, but some people do. I don't think the Hawks are going to take him with the 8th pick suddenly. I think the Hawks are going to go international, actually. But what do you think? You think Cam Reddish is going to be a top 10 pick tonight?
I do. I think he's probably going to go 8 or 9, but I'm with you. The guy from France is probably going to go. It's either going to be him or Reddish.
Okay, so let's say Reddish.
Right?
So let's say Reddish does go 8.
Say
he
goes 8 or 9.
9 and 10.
Yep.
That leaves us 9 and 10.
France is no, because he's an international. He's
going to go either 8, 9, or 10. That guy.
Yep.
And then it comes down to, does Jackson Hayes really go in the top 10 like everybody's convinced? I don't know. It's no lock.
Well, there's none. It has.
Rui Hachimura could go in the top 10.
He could. I'm just looking at some mocks. You got Hayes at Hayes at 10, Clark at 11, Hachimura at 12. Yeah, Little, PJ Washington. It's tough,
Listen,
Gabe. It's going to be.
There's
not
a lot of room for error here, but that's why I'm getting plus 180. You know what I mean? But if one curveball happens, I'm going to win this bet.
That's the thing, and I'm gonna take it just strictly from line value too. Plus, look at it. It's freshman drafted in top 10, under 5.5 plus 320. I think I'd be crazy not to take it. Like, you know what I mean? You put $50 on it, you're winning like close to $200 there. Like, it's a bet well worth making. And if it doesn't win, so be it. That's what you do. You got to step up to the window. We don't know. I'm not Kreskin. I don't have a damn crystal ball. But I'll tell you one thing. It's either going to be 5 or 6, and you're getting what? Not
exactly.
Plus 105. You're getting plus 320.
Exactly.
And that's what we have to do when we gamble. You look at something, it's a coin flip. So it's not a coin flip for 50-50. It's a coin flip for plus 320. So you know what? I don't even mind. I'd love it to win, but I will bet it just on the fact that you're getting that kind of take back. And that's good gambling.
And this is why
you try to find it up.
And this is why I took Nasir Little over 12.5. All right, so you look at Nasir Little. You look at all these mock drafts, and the mock drafts don't mean jack, but let's just say the consensus. I don't know, man. You see Nasir Little at 14. You see him at 11. You see him at 13. He's all around there. But it's not like every team GM in the NBA is dying to draft Nasir Little. So, I mean, you know, he's a good player, but I don't know. I think he'll go like 14, 15, 16 in that range. But over 12 and a half is plus 130. So I'm getting 30 cents on the dollar here, like on a coin toss pretty much. So that's what I like about it. I like that Will Capper agreed. This Tyler Hero kid from Kentucky, Cam. The kid hit one shot. He's undersized. I don't know. The media loves these white kids that can hit threes that can't really do anything else. Like, same with Ty Jerome. You know, the kid from Virginia. He's a nice player, but to me, he's not a first-round pick. I wouldn't take that guy in the first round of the NBA draft. He's a second-rounder. No. And Tyler Hero, to me, is not a top 17-and-a-half pick. Now, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what they think. But at plus 230, I'll take my chances, Cam. Plus 230, the Tyler Hero's not a top 17-and-a-half pick.
Just got to look at these props and find the ones to the plus that are coin flips. And if you bet, like, two to four of them, if you go 50%, you can win hundreds of dollars. That's the way you got to
You know
play.
Who I did take under, though? It's Goga Bidnaxi. I think he's going to go under 16 and a half.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, shout out to our boy Kevin. What up, Kevin? Good to see Kevin L. Longelil kicking it with us. And he actually informed me, Cam, if you look under the futures over at Mr. Green, look under NBA futures, and it's tricky. Like, kick the futures and then click it again, and you'll see.
Yeah, I wasn't there before, but I'll take a look at it. I'll take a look.
And, yeah, their props are kind of lacking, but they've got a few. But what I find interesting is I see, so Darius Garland, they have at 4.5, minus 120. Over under 4.5. I've got him 5.5 at plus 325. Like, so I've got one.
Yeah, you're
you know,
right.
One,
very
one
small
draft
sample size. Very small sample size here. So they have basically Bull 15.5, minus 250 to the over. Brandon Clark draft position under 14.5, minus $1.38. Cam Reddish, over 7.5, minus 250, under plus 175. Colby White, 6.5, minus 150, plus 110. Darius Garland, 4.5. 4.5, minus 120.
I'd go under.
Way. Wow. You mean over. He's going to be more than the fourth pick.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like over. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, over. I know. That's the thing about these things. You got to also focus your mind. Sometimes you think under.
You got to word. You got to word it properly. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. Over is 5, 6, 7, not 4. Yeah, I know. You're right. Sometimes when you're doing
but
those things,
I played the tickets,
like,
Cap. Mm-hmm, I played them in the machine today. I knew. I thought about it. I was like, dude, every time you click this over under, make sure you're clear with this when you're clicking it. You know, like you got to be. You're right, because you can get confused with it. So. No, exactly. So, like, Darius Garland over 4.5, which means he'd have to be in the top four to beat you. I don't think he's going to be in the top four. I don't think he's going to be in the top five. Like, Pep, I don't think – I like it enough that I bet it. I don't think he's going to be in the top five, so I'd really like it that he's not going to be in the top four. Look, I tell you what, right now, this bet comes down to this. We already know. We can repeat ourselves over and over. We already know that Zion is number one. We know that Ja Morant is number two. We know that R.J. Barrett is number
Barrett's
three.
Number three, yes.
So basically you're getting minus 120. Will the Pelicans draft Darius Garland? I don't think they will. And I think that agent thing has a hell of a lot to do with it, too. The Bensons, the Benson family, they're not going to want to deal with the same agent. She's going to say, screw that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a great way of looking at it. But the more important thing to look in the whole thing is the juice. Because you have to think, it's like, okay, we're not getting propositions. What I said before, like when you're dealing with these props, the whole goal in gambling is to find, you know, the plus 300, whatever, and we middle it type of thing. Well, If you're offering me a prop on something that is a 50-50 proposition, that should be 10 cents either way. But you're getting 280 plus 280 plus 330. It's what we talked about when we were diversifying the portfolio with the futures. When a team got down on one with the Blues, then become plus 240 in the series. Stuff like that, right, Gabe? Hitting it from both sides. And that's the thing about these props. If you can find a good number like that, that's how you attack it, right? Because nothing is set in stone, but I'm with you. I think you'll be drafted, like, after four. And, you know, if you you get a nice little take back on some books.
So as we were going to the break, so as I said, I've got Garland over 5.5 plus 325. I've got under 5.5 freshmen in top 10 plus 180. I have Ty Jerome, Virginia Cavaliers. Ty Jerome over 23.5. Over 23.5 for Ty Jerome. I've got over 18.5 for Tyler Hero. Plus 230, too. I don't understand why. I don't know why they're so convinced he's going to be that high of a pick. But I'm going over at plus 230. I'm going over 12.5 with Nasir Little at plus 130, which is sort of a coin toss. It's going to be right around there, but I'm getting plus 130. And I'm swinging for the fences with this Goga Bitadze dude. And, you know, he's from Georgia, but not Atlanta, yeah. Georgia camp. Georgia, no. Georgia. Russia, Georgia. Yeah.
That was the best. Remember at the old sports book we had, Georgia, instead of the Georgia Bulldogs logo, was the country of Georgia's flag? The best.
Yeah, next to the Georgia Bulldog points.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Georgia Bulldogs, not Georgia. Okay. Yeah, Georgia Bulldogs versus Kazakhstan. Thanks. That was the best. They did another one, too. It was like two countries. Like, guys, just put a big DG for Georgia. But they preferred the Georgia country flag.
Yeah. Classic. So I'm going to Goga under 16.5. I think he'll go in the top 17. He's a big talent. A lot of international players are hip now in the NBA. I don't think he's going to fall to 17. I'll go under 16.5 and Nasir Little over 12.5. I played the over in the CFL game too, Cam, over 43.5. I just think it's a little bit too low.
I will say this. I think, yes. Okay, here's the thing. When you look at the defenses, you're thinking low total, but I think there's a lot of aspects to this game. You have a quarterback in Dominique Davis that did crazy things. He won, but take a look at the statistics. Interceptions, turnovers, crazy stuff. He's an all-or-nothing type of guy. He can throw a pick six at any time in a game or throw a bomb. Conversely, you have Cody Fajardo, former Argos quarterback, now playing for Saskatchewan. This is his first game. This game equals turnovers and craziness and stuff. I think the game can go over just because of the, you know, this quarterback situation we have here, too. The fact that it's going down is really shocking. I thought it would go from, like, 47.5 to over 50. I'm seeing 44.5. Like, that's nuts, Gabe. You gotta think. Like, you saw Dominic Davis that first game against Calgary. He did some crazy things. Crazy turnovers, nice plays, but that's what I'm saying. He's kind of an all-or-nothing guy. He will make some mistakes.
You're right. And, listen, I liked the under last week between the Riders and the Ticats. And, of course, Cam, we were getting 5.5, and they lost by 6, of course, right? Classic, mm-hmm. Would have covered on a teaser. Yeah, yeah. But as you mentioned, and everyone talks about the Riders' defense, and it's good, but that was really bad weather last week in Hamilton. It was pouring rain.
Almost a tornado, as we mentioned.
Exactly. It wasn't nice weather. So weather's not going to be a factor tonight. The Red Blacks put up 32 points last week on the road, guys, against Calgary. And as Cam alluded, it's a great point, Cam. Yeah, Dominic Davis is going to make some plays, but he's also the type of kid that's going to fumble the football when he scrambles, right? Or he's going to throw behind someone and he's going to get batted in the air. You know, he makes plays, but he's also raw. And he doesn't have a ton of experience as a starter in the CFL. Meanwhile, Cody Fajardo has been around a little while. He's only average, but he'll make a mistake or two, and it'll lead to short fields, Cam. You're right. People think, you know, you got these bad cornerbacks, good defense. Guys, it's the CFL. We're probably going to get 10 free points from free safeties tonight, Cam. How many times are the Riders and these guys and the Red Blacks are going to concede the two? I'm telling you. Like, it's just too low at 43.5. What would you say 43.5 is by NFL standards? Like, it was a number. Like, I told Joe Ranieri, it's like if the total is like 30 or something. 30.5.
I was
going
to say 33.5. 33.5.
So you saw, like, nuts. It's but the thing is, okay, Cam, if it was like 43.5 and it's November and it's freaking snowy and windy and it's Canada and it's like, snowstorm, blizzard. We're in the summer. It's nice. What's the weather in Ottawa today? It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, here it's a very it's a nice day. It's starting to get a little bit of humidity in the air, too. Dominic Davis made crazy mistakes.
It's a sunny day right now.
Yeah, I think the total is
65 degrees and sunny. No way.
You basically have two backup quarterbacks. One has a little bit more experience, but Fajardo with the Argos has been in there before because Ricky Ray was an old quarterback, so he's had time to, you know, get used to offenses. He's not like a CFL guy who's just getting his feet wet. He's been since he's come over from Nevada. Yeah, he's been around, but he's been a backup.
He was the quarterback at Nevada after Kaepernick. He replaced
after Colin
Kaepernick.
That is absolutely correct.
And he put up the same numbers, Cap.
No, he was amazing in college. That was when Nevada had a program that was respectable. Yeah. When Colin Kaepernick was there, then Cody Fajardo was there. Like, when he actually came to the CFL, I know me and you were very excited. Now he gets a chance.
They had a good coach, Cam. Who was their coach? I forget.
Off the top of my head,
was it Chris Ault?
Chris Ault.
Yeah. He was a great coach.
He left.
And remember, Bill Polian's kid took over, and it was a stooge. It was like a gong show.
It's like you went from Jeopardy to Wheel of Fortune, from a brainiac to a stooge. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. Polian destroyed that program.
He was so in over his head, but Ault was a – remember, every year, Nevada, bowl team, crushing it. They actually had good players to make the NFL, too. They were always good sleeper picks, like third round and whatever. Like, Seattle used to draft guys from Nevada that always panned out late rounds. So, I'm telling you, I think Fajardo –
what do you think the score is tonight? I'm thinking 27-22.
I think Saskatchewan. 20, I'm going to take Saskatchewan. I'm taking Saskatchewan.
I got him a small piece, plus 4.5.
Yeah, I'd like to get 5 or 6, but I think the Riders are the play.
I'd like to get five or six, too, but FanDuel at 4.5. Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, I'd like them to be plus 14, please. Yeah, but I'm hey, man, Rider Nation tonight. I think it's a lot for Ottawa with Davis. It was a nice win in Calgary. Calgary's not the same team. I think people are going to jump to the fact that they were good in the first week. I'll take the 4.5 points with the Riders, man. Give me the points. Give me the damn points. And I like the over, too.
So NBA draft. Is it really at 7, or is it TV 7?
No. We have a show here on the network with the boys after our show. The actual draft
that
starts at 7:30 tonight. 7:30. See, Gabe, we've got to pump the networks here, eh? So
7:30. So the draft is at 7:30.
Your boy Sean will throw my picks under the bus even when I give him winners. But the draft tonight is 7 o'clock for everybody. Tune into the network. After Red Heat and Rage, we will have a draft show tonight on the network.
Mike Blewett. Greg Sussman.
Yep, Suss Blue.
Greg Stample.
The crew. Fantasy best friends forever. And Blew It.
Yeah. All the adults of the network.
The adults. The guys who don't put Cheetos in Kentucky Fried Chicken burgers.
Yeah. Frank's a young adult.
Yeah.
He's a young adult.
That's great. Anyway, Gabe, I got good news on the golf course, too. Paul Casey tied for the lead. Paul Casey, one of our picks, tied for the lead. I know you liked him at DFS. We're off to a good start. I have him as first-round leader, too. If he can get a birdie on the first hole, this could be a good start to the week, which I'd really like. So an update just from some guys that we talked about. Casey's T1. Victor Hovland, 3-under. Good start to the tournament. He's T22 right now. Leishman, Ranieri's guy, is T10. Patrick Cantlay tied for 10. He's 4-under. Sungjae Im in at 2-under. So at least guys are under par. Like, not
I'm
going to
snap.
Why? With Lucas Glover?
I told you again.
Got to listen to me on this guy.
I'm looking at my guys. I got Paul Casey, number one. I got Fleetwood, T10. I got Emiliano Grillo, T22. Hadwin could be doing a little better, but there's Lucas Glover, plus one. Yeah, T106. Dude, like, I'm done with, like, I don't care what the optimizer says about this guy. Lucas Glover sucks, bro. Like, this guy screws me every effing week, man.
I'm going to tell you something. Hey, a good start for our boys, too. We talked about the young guys, right? Guys coming up. How's our boy? Alvin Murakawa, T38 right now, 2-under.
Yeah.
Kids, you know what I mean? So, no,
And struggling a little bit, though, early here.
A little bit. But don't worry about him. Just, you don't want to be 2 or 3 over. I will say this, the optimizer is great for mathematical
projections.
Don't
worry about him.
But you also have to kind of do the eye test, right? So I'm watching golf every week. I'm making notes. I have a little piece of paper beside the TV now. Watch out for this kid, okay, Oklahoma State, who's turning pro. Little things, right, Gabe? Like, you know what I mean? It's the human element too, right? It's because you throw it into the super computer. Like, hey, the computer gave you Casey, all these other good things. But unfortunately, Lucas Glover, in my opinion, he's not really playing very good golf. Like, he's is kind of trending downwards for now. He'll be back, but golf is, it's a lot of ebb and flows like life. You have good months and you have bad months, right? And he's having a bad month right now.
Yeah. Speaking of what we're chasing, he can, we got a guest, Jason, in a 6 o'clock hour, actually, 6:09.
Oh, it's...
We're not going to hear from him today. Hey, listen, it wasn't our fault. I want to get him on after, no. But, you know.
No, I agree with you. It's like you say you got a one-minute story, and it just kind of...
Oh, he told me he got 2 minutes, and he spent 2 minutes talking about some Greyhound station in Kenosha. I don't know what was going on, where it was going. We were out of time.
I think Yang's I'm not sure if he has taken a leak or whatever, but maybe we can squeeze him in before the top.
Well, if he calls in, we'll patch him in, buddy.
There's no time now because he will
get
his story
in
again.
Yeah, we tried this segment before. It's got to be a longer segment. Yeah, bring up the point.
Game time decision. Continues.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game time decisions, Ready Bridge Radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network. And one thing I don't like about this this new Twitter, I can never find stuff that I tweeted. I just retweeted. I'm going to retweet it. But I got to make sure to find out where it was actually was from. It's one of the like those stupid internet videos of people fighting on the street, but. It actually will make you go, what the hell is going on here? And I don't say, what the hell is going on here? That easily. All right. So the countdown to the draft is on. We're about 1 hour away from the start of our coverage right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As we've got Mike Blewett, Greg Sussman, Frank Stample. Who else? Who else is on the radar there, Yang?
Mike Bass tonight. It's going to be Greg, Frank, and Mike Bass on the draft special tonight.
All right. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Eastern. You guys can talk about my great picks and my great wins here tonight. Go, wow.
Hey, I told them, I said, listen, if the Knicks don't select R.J. Barrett, I'm a Raptor fan, baby.
Yes, Yang.
Yeah, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, because you know the Knicks tend to do some crazy things with their picks, man. I hope I could pronounce a guy whoever they're going to select, man. Like, you know, there's so many promising things and players that we could have had, and they do other stuff, man. I don't understand them, but if they don't select R.J. Barrett, I am gonna be a Raptor fan, baby, because Kawhi's staying.
Even the Knicks can't screw this up. They're falling out. Once we said about the New York Giants, actually, with the sixth pick. They're taking R.J. Barrett. Everything's going to be fine. Yeah, and I don't, you know, this story on Deadspin now, Kyle Kuzma's tweeting something cryptic. You know, I don't know. The thing is, they say Kyle Kuzma shares a trainer with Kawhi Leonard. You know, so, Cam, we're going to.
Here's another thing, too. Kawhi Leonard's not the type of guy just to talk about stuff. He's very quiet and secretive, so I might have to call BS on this, too. And it's not a good move if you're Kuzma saying anything about this guy. Let him do it. You'll learn to regret it, man. This guy's a very secretive guy. He doesn't just give out information. Sounds like a bunch of... No?
Hey, level 3. Big Man on Campus will join us after the update. Cam gets us caught up.